We started a one-month study of the book of James, and I trust last week you learned and understood some things concerning the background and that some principles from chapter 1 when it comes to the first test that James addresses, that of enduring trials and persecutions. Enduring trials and persecutions. One of the graduates from our seminary just accepted a ministry out in a tiny church in the outback of Nebraska. And in the entire county, he found out there's 532 people. So his goal in the church is to reach out to a population of 532 and beyond. But he thought a good way to begin his ministry would be some time alone with God en route. And so about a week or 2 weeks ago, he got on his bicycle and he rode his bicycle over about 10 days out to Nebraska. Gave him a lot of time with God, gave him a lot of time with trials and endurances. Now, this is the same student that one time said to me, "Prof, can I tell you about one of our Thanksgiving festivals at our home?" And I said, "Well, yeah, it was Thanksgiving time." And he says, "Well, you know, I was about 12 years old, and we lived in a tiny little farming village in Indiana. And it was a beautiful day. Sun was out. Leaves were changing color. Relatives were coming in the front door. Family was working hard to get everything on the table and set up as they wanted it. And his mom said, "Eric, would you go out and get 5 more chairs from the barn?" "Hey, no problem." Out he goes. As he almost gets to the barn, there is a pile of wood. And on top of the wood is a snake. And of course, at 12 years of age, he thought he would help God along. And he went and got a hatchet. He was going to take out this snake. And he creeps up on the snake and swings the hatchet and misses and hits a couple pieces of wood, and the whole wood pile falls down on him. Knocks him out. He is passed out. Family is coming in for dinner. Not only is he knocked out, but the wood pile continued and hit a lantern that his father had left on from the morning inside. He's passed out. People are coming for dinner. And the barn is on fire. Needless to say, when it's all said and done, they got the township fire department plus a couple other townships out there battling the blaze. What was simply a trip to go get a couple, 5 or 4 chairs ended up being almost a disaster for the family, because in the barn was what? Animals, part of their harvest, etc., etc., etc. Well, he admits that it took him 14 years to tell his parents the true story. And he's moving on in ministry from there. But it doesn't matter your age. We face trials, we face temptation, we face hardship. We see it every night on the news. And after a while, you start thinking, is there anything out there going on that's not a major tragedy or related to it? Perhaps some this week found out that basements are basements. Why we make them for construction, I have no idea. In fact, after 4 floods in our past, I told my wife the condominium is going to be basementless. It's the only request I have. It's been 7 years of bliss. Absolutely 7 years of bliss. But I pray for my friends and relatives. I had one friend over in Berkeley. Him and his wife, their whole basement flooded. Their children lived several streets away, 2 other families, all 3 families. And they basically sent out a message the night of the storm, SOS. They were overwhelmed. Everybody was overwhelmed. Trials come. And as you take a look at the Bible, it's not new on planet Earth. Last week we began, let's take about 4 minutes, because some were not here, to review, and we'll go from there. The Epistle of James, chopping off the rough edges in the spiritual life. We had some warnings. If you study this book, it's going to beat you up in a good way. It's going to throw some punches that need to be thrown. Why? Because a person can say anything. We talked about the parrot last week that was taught to say, I'm saved. I'm a Christian. Of course, we know theologically that the parrot's not, maybe owned by a Christian person, but parrot is just simply mimicking. Primer to the Epistle of James, the place of James in the New Testament. What we say, make a box and says Gospels. Next to it, make a box and say Book of Acts, Acts of the Apostles. What comes next? Not our English arrangement. Either James or Galatians are the next. And James is 16 years after the ascension of Jesus into heaven. And James says his account initially is addressed to James, a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, unto the 12 tribes scattered abroad. Christian Jews who are suffering for their faith. I mean, literally, scattered is a very good word. If you know the history there in the first, second, third, fourth, fifth centuries, mass chaos going on in Jewish communities, in Christian communities, in secular communities, war after war. They didn't care if you had a deed to a piece of land, that was worthless. They didn't care if you said, I have so much money in the bank. All that didn't mean anything. It was a simply mass chaos. Placement right after the book of Acts, and the date approximately 48-49 AD, 16 years after the ascension. The author of the epistle, initially there's for some a problem because there are four individuals in the New Testament named James, Luke, James, the brother of John, Matthew, James, the brother or the son of Alphaeus, Luke 6, James, the father of Judas, not Judas Iscariot, the other Judas. But evangelical scholars believe that it is number 4, James, the half-brother of Jesus. Matthew 12, 46, let's look there very quickly. Matthew 12, 46. While Jesus was still talking to the crowd, his mother and brothers stood outside wanting to speak to him. Someone told him, your mother and your brothers are standing outside wanting to speak to you. He replied to them, who is my mother and who are my brothers? Pointing to his disciples, he said, here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother, my sister, and my mother. Another passage there, go over to chapter 13 of Matthew, and beginning with verse 53. Chapter 13, I should say, 13 of Matthew, verse 53. When Jesus had finished these parables, he moved on from there. Coming to his hometown, he began teaching the people in their synagogue, and they were amazed. Where did this man get this wisdom and these miraculous powers, they said. Isn't this the carpenter's son? Isn't his mother's name Mary? Aren't his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas here? Aren't all of his sisters with us? Where then did this man get all these things? And they took offense at him. Well-known family there in Nazareth. When it talks about a carpenter, that could carry over into be a stonemason or a wood carpenter or a person involved in the building process. But they were known. And he didn't have one sister. He had at least two or more. And in the midst of all of that, we will see that he is pointed out by the Apostle Paul as one of the apostles. Take a look at Galatians. Back a few pages, Galatians chapter 1, verse 19. Galatians 1, 19. Let's begin with verse 18. Then after 3 years, Paul says, I went up to Jerusalem to get acquainted with Peter and stayed with him 15 days. I saw none of the other apostles, only James, the Lord's brother. Evidence, this individual, his half-brother. What else do we know about him? By the time of Acts 15, the Jerusalem Council, he appears to be the leader, or if not the leader, one of the prime leaders of the Jerusalem church. When this whole argument breaks out, is it salvation plus stuff from Judaism or anything else? It's James who in that account summarizes the issue and the argument and gives his opinion of the fact that it's what? Sola fide, faith plus nothing else. All types of references in the book to things of nature used to communicate spiritual ideas and truth. Waves of the sea, tossed by the wind, wildflowers, sun that scorches, etc., etc. More, a great forest is set on fire by a small spark, fresh water and salt water. Can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? So in peace. Moths have eaten your clothes. Gold and silver are corroded. The cries of the harvesters. The farmers wait for the crop. Anoint him with oil. All things from the world well known around them. Remember, early Judaism and later Judaism, predominantly an agrarian society. You didn't want to live in the towns. Towns didn't smell too good. They were congested. You wanted to be out on your ranch. You wanted to be out on your farm. Wide open spaces, hard work, good work, neighbors, small hamlets. That's where what you were trained to do. That's where you wanted to be. And whether it was in ancient Israel or Judea, Galilee, or into the dispersion, that is what was the target. Also, in his account, he bears heavy on his half-brother, the true Messiah, Jesus of Nazareth, teachings that we find in Matthew 5 through 7, the Sermon on the Mount. The endurance test. Last week we read through the passage, we talked about endurance. Spiritual endurance is a byproduct of working through trials. Good sailors, and always ask if you're going to go with somebody that's going to get you in their sailboat, ask them if they've ever been in any storms. Because if they haven't, you don't want to go. I don't care how blue the sky is. I don't care if Chuck Gatica tells you we're going to have sunshine for the next 10 years. Don't go with them. Why? Good sailors are not built on calm seas. And I know we've all been there, right? You tighten up that seatbelt on the plane as the pilot comes on and says, we're going to go through some problems here. Well, he won't call them problems, but got a storm ahead or around us. And then the plane starts to shake. And I don't know about you, but I'm always wondering myself, how much shaking can this thing take? Yep. First time I ever went on a speedboat, you know. Choppy, boom, 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 boom. I thought, hey, it's enough for me. Then he got beyond that where he was really cruising. Everything smoothed out. But good sailors are not built on calm seas. We've all been there. If I would say, take the whole afternoon and list the different problems you've gone through in your life, we'd run out of paper, wouldn't we? We could be exhaustive, all kinds of things. But do you know that strengthens us for spiritual ministry, issues, conflict, outreach, etc., etc., etc. In fact, if I'm reading the Bible right, each year we should be different. We should not totally be the person we were last year. If we are, something's going wrong in the walk. It's a constant growing process. And you see the rookies come up, right? In baseball, oh my word, and they have a great week or 2 weeks, and wow, this could be the answer to everything. And then they start finding out that the other team is not stupid. They start watching them and filming them and studying their swing and everything they do and trying to counteract the progress they're making against your team. You try to nullify them. Well, if that guy's so great and he plays on that side of the field, don't throw it over here. We're going to throw it over here. We're going to turn him into a spectator. We're not going to throw the ball over there and watch this guy intercept it and run for a touchdown. So the best player's there. We're playing over here. Strategy, strategy. Satan knows all about humanity. He's been working against us ever since our first parents, where he knocked on their home in the garden. And up to this very moment, that battle rages. That's what the scriptures say. Spiritual endurance is a byproduct of working through trials. We identify them pretty well, but then the next step is, what do we need to do as a family? What do we need to do as a church? What do I need to do as an individual? If there were chart boards and you had a magic marker and you could go up there and write down the top three things if God could take them immediately out of your life, I'd imagine we'd all have three. If we were given the possibility of the five, I'd imagine we'd all have five up there. There are things that you just, oh my word, Lord, just take this thing and deal with it, and on and on and on. Spiritual endurance is an ingredient of biblical wisdom. Wisdom in the Old Testament means skill. When they wanted to make the tabernacle, remember, they selected out individuals who had great skill. The word there is wisdom. Great skill in whatever craft, working with gold, working with wood, working with stone, whatever it was. You know, they were experts in that area. What have we been given responsibility for in this life? To, with God's strength and His Word and the Spirit of God and other believers, to be able to move forward in the midst of trials and temptation. And He wants us to move against the opposition, not run from it. And you know, we've all been there. We've all done our Jonah thing, right? Yeah, we wouldn't say we got swallowed by a whale, but we ran the opposite direction. We knew what God wanted us to do. Interesting discussion one time, six or seven Bible teachers, and they started talking about the great topic, the will of God for your life. And after a discussion for about an hour, one fellow said, you know, my personal opinion is, a big chunk of the will of God for your life is to do those things you told God you're not going to do. Ooh. Ooh. What are those things? You probably don't have a list written down someplace, but it's in your head. What have you said, God? I'm not reaching out to those people. Well, we've had words. And hey, you know, got a big steel wall between the two of us. Not going to take it down. What if we told God we're not going to do? That very well might be part of what He wants us to do for Him in this life. Spiritual endurance is grounded in a humble spiritual attitude. Right back, right there to what? Sermon on the Mount. Statements of Jesus concerning about being humble. Not lording ourselves over others. Not being boastful, etc., etc. You ever been there? Trench warfare. World War I. And sometimes you stayed in that trench for weeks or months. And if it rained, guess what? Your feet were wet. Your ankles were wet. Your knees were wet. And guess who is over there a number of yards? Your enemy, doing the same thing. Trench warfare. And all of a sudden you hear a whistle go off, and you know from your training the whistle means climb up into that mud, into that rain of bullets coming at you, and try to get the enemy. Now, some of these were pretty sophisticated. They've been there a long, long time. They're neutralized. Both sides are neutralized. They can't go one way or the other. It's a standoff. Very simply, God wants us to move forward even in the midst of endurance, even in the midst of persecution, even in the midst of trials. He wants us to endure and move forward. Forward. Satan will settle for neutral or reverse. If he can't neutralize you, or if he can't defeat you, he'll neutralize you. At least that's what his goal is. So guess what? Spiritual boot camp. We're going to have trials. We're going to have conflict. We have an aggressor, the world, the flesh, and Satan. And that's so much reality beyond what we know in this life. It's unbelievable. Spiritual conflict constantly going on. You take a look at the book of Job. Job was in the midst of great trials, horrible trials at times. Thought he was going to die, wanted to die. You know, lost about everything he lose. And then he started doubting himself. And his friends started saying, well, there's a secret sin. You just got to dig it out. Find that secret sin. And so on. Trench warfare. God doesn't want you there. Doesn't want you there. Doesn't want a standoff. That just goes on and on and on. And then we become what? Satisfied with the standoff. Well, just the way life goes, right? Endurance, forward for the Lord. We think in terms of percentage. I give so much money to God. I give God so much time. Once in a while, I talk to Him. Got to have your limits, right? And sometimes we add things to the spiritual walk that perhaps shouldn't be added. We try to Christianize things that aren't Christian. And so on. Wow, then, my word, a lot of statements Old New Testament about what I have, whether it be money in the bank or someplace else, whether it be property, homes, prestige, on and on and on, a business. We start thinking in terms of protecting that at all costs. You know, when you get life insurance, you're betting you're going to die and they're betting you're going to live. And the percentages are on their favor. Interesting. Wow. What do we add to? I have a good friend, just passed away. He was a pastor of Italian Baptist Church on Staten Island for 30 years. So he gave me the joke. It's not my joke. You know what this is? This is the Italian army practicing for the next war. If you're Italian, I'm not. This could be German. This could be anybody, but, you know, do we fight or what do we do here? Captive. Let's take a look here at verse 12. Chapter 1, verse 12. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial. When he has stood the test, ye will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. Oh, my word. I can remember 1969. I asked this young Christian woman to marry me. And she was, her family was on one side of the trench. We were on the other side of the trench. Because in our town, 70% of the population was Catholic, 30% Protestant. In that, we went to a little Baptist church. And her father was the Grand Knights of the Knights of Columbus. And when she went home and said she had accepted Christ as personal Savior, it was not a happy home. And one time she wanted to go to prayer meeting, and instead of going to prayer meeting, she got a black eye. Christian literature, even the New Testament, was torn up in her home. So, things were tense for 45 years. Until her dad accepted the Lord a few days before his death. Endurance. Keep the witness going. Keep the line of communication open. Don't give up. Don't give up. We like everything on our time schedules. God, if you could do this for me in the next 10 minutes. Wow. You know, the seminary building we finally acquired was after 400 we seriously looked at. And we didn't know, but it was the only one that was at the last day free. We got an entire building free. Well, we paid $9,000. Free. If we would have gotten any of the other 400, we would have had a mortgage till the day we died. We learned something about endurance. Sometimes endurance stretches you to the point where you think, that's about it. You hang in there. God has a reason for what he is doing with all of us. The resistance test, science of spiritual warfare. Chapter 1, 13 through 18. 13, when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone with evil. But each one is tempted when by his own evil desire he is dragged away and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Don't be deceived, my dear brothers. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that he might be a kind of first fruits of all that he, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all that he created. Understanding the source of temptation and how to deal with it in the spiritual life. There are many accounts in the Old Testament where someone saw something, someone in their mind came up with an evil plan, and somebody took something. We have that over and over and over. Seeing and being enticed, and then making a plan to acquire, and then acquiring it. And you say, wow, that's so much of our world system today, isn't it? I mean, you see advertisements that want you to buy and get involved in just about anything. Good, bad, or indifferent. and you're bombarded with them. And after a while, you know, some start using that as pretty well their target in life. Well, if I could only have this. That guy has that. Well, I want that. Had a relative and they bought a tiny travel trailer 25 years ago. Had it all polished up, packed, away they went. Vacation was good for one day because they pulled into this park and they pulled in between two monster units. And you know what? Camping is this and this, it's not this. So every 2 years they were buying up, thinking that there's a big old tank that we're going to haul around out there someplace that's going to give us meaning and purpose in life. We could just have that. Man, envy. I want that. Why do I want that? That guy has it. All my neighbors have it. I don't want to be the only person in the neighborhood with no ladder. Then I'm going to have to knock on somebody's door and say, do you have a ladder? I'd like to use it for 5 minutes. I run out and buy one, use it for 5 minutes and hang it in my garage. Who knows when I'm going to use it again? We're hammered into this mold of this is what you need to do. No, you don't. You don't have to do that. There's other ways to accomplish what you need than often and then what is being presented to you. Resistance test, understanding the source of blessing and how to depend on it in the spiritual life. Source of blessing comes from the Lord. Comes from the Lord. He can bless you spiritually. He can bless you emotionally. He can bless you in all areas of your life. God's blessings. Marvelous thing. Remember one time, this one fellow that I knew from a kid, hadn't seen each other in 30 years. He says, you know, I pray for you every day. I never, ever knew that. Pray for you every day. Whoa. Pray for people. Pray for yourself. Pray for your chapel. Pray for the families, the ministries. I mean, the ministry that was presented last week of what took place in Vacation Bible School was outstanding. You know, there's some churches that have given up. They don't even do it. They can't find workers. You had a good number of workers. A lot accomplished that week. What a blessing. Blessing on those individuals, on the teachers, those presenting, those helping with setup, clean up the whole thing, ministry went forward. And I would imagine there were some challenges. There may have been some trials. Hey, you expect those things. As far as I know, I've never heard of a police department going out of existence unless they're merging with somebody. One township, one city with another city. Why? Because in the whole area of crime, it's a given there's going to be crime in our society. We got 3 million people right now in prison. We got more people in prison than the population of about a third of the countries of the world. But they're not shutting down the prisons. They're not shutting down the police forces. It's pretty well given crime is here until the Lord comes. It's a given. You go to be a police officer, they're going to take you through a whole academy, and you're going to learn a lot of things. But in the midst of all that, the fact is tomorrow, like today, there's going to be issues of crime, and what are we going to do to address those things? And so on. The response test. you can know all the rules. Let's take a look at verse 19. My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. I had a cousin. I used to cut out articles in the paper as a kid. He was the only one that got in the paper. But it wasn't for the good reasons. He was in every jail in St. Clair County, some of them two or three times. He ended up out in Jackson Penitentiary for 3 years of his life. And there a chaplain led him to the Lord. And over time, tremendous things started to happen in his life. Early on, one Friday evening, we were doing a Bible study at their house. He brings out their family albums. And he says, this Christianity stuff's new to me, but would you go through our family album? Are there any pictures in there that shouldn't be? Never had a question like that before. Well, okay, I'm flipping through the pictures. Oh, yeah, this one you may want to rip up. I don't know if you want to pass that on to your kids and grandkids. Oh. He was legitimate. There's stuff in here that's unbiblical, offensive. I'm not giving it to the next generation. I'm taking some action so that I have a clearer conscience of what I'm leaving for the next generation to come. And he started going through areas of his life. Started to take, what, a proactive view. Preparing to respond to trials, tests, and temptations in your life, the right attitude. And the right action. Positive attitude. We don't need this anymore. I got this from my great-great-grandfather, but it may not serve any good purpose into the future. Prerequisites for responding with the right attitude and actions. If anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world system. You've been there, I've been there. There was a time if you didn't have a fleet of church buses, you were ungodly. There was a time where if you didn't have over 100 people in your church choir, something was wrong. If you didn't have X number of people come to a facility, you were wrong. Number one, I don't see any verse saying you got to have church bus. Half of them weren't kept upright anyways. All kinds of horror stories. A lot of these things, some idea, they can be used for good, but they're not mandatory. They're not the biblical, there's not a chapter in the Bible saying if you have these 35 things, you're doing God's will. In fact, when I was in high school, I got kind of confused because we had four different youth speakers from different organizations telling us four different ways to know God's will. One guy had four things to know God's will, another guy 10, another guy 8, another guy 12. Do you put them all together? How do you know God's will? I was getting mixed view of what is God's will for your life. Well, part of the problem is me. Doesn't have to be the same number. How about the principles? Don't get all bogged down in kind of the minutia. What's the message coming from God's Word? We will pick up at this point next week. Please, this week, read chapter 2. Read chapter 2. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the book of James. Thank you for the challenge to the believers scattered in dispersion. Father, help us as we deal with endurance in the spiritual life. Help us in responding biblically, correctly, when great problems and trials come. May it be a biblical response with a right attitude and right action. And Father, guide us when it comes to our tongue, that we do not do damage to our own lives and spiritual lives of others by its misuse. Guide us this week. Use each one of us in the lives of others. In Jesus' name, amen.